Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
I am Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, thanks so much for joining me this week. So my quote today is by the amazing Eckhart Tolle, and he says, "Acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation of all abundance." So what does your self-talk sound like? Do you often find yourself saying things like, "When I get that promotion, I'll have enough money to take a vacation," or "When I lose those 25 pounds, which I'm still waiting for, I will be happy." Sometimes it's actually really hard to break those old habits and start to live from a place of having everything you already need right here and right now. Now, what would your life look like if you flip the statement that I just did above to say something like, "I have enough money saved and I'm excited about my vacation to Jamaica in 6 months"? Or even if you think this manifestation isn't going to happen, what if you think the manifestation would happen, what do you think would happen in your life? Well, today, my wonderful, wonderful guest, Kate Jettege, and I are going to discuss the law of awareness. This is a new one for me, so I'm real excited, and metaphysics. Sounds interesting, right? We're going to use her book, Infinite Possibilities, How to Use the Ideas of Neville Goddard to Create the Life You Want, to help us all create the life we imagine. Now, Kate is a British television presenter and author with a background in science. After postgraduate research at Oxford, Kate moved to Switzerland to work at the World Health Organization. Now, additionally, Kate has worked with the BBC Science Unit and BBC Radio Oxford and serves as a news editor of the International Journal Africa Health. Extensive, right? Kate has also presented two science series aimed at young adults for Channel 4 in the UK, earning her a BAFTA nomination. That might be said BAFTA nomination. So please help me welcome my wonderful, wonderful, unbelievable guest, Kate, to the show. So Kate, thank you for taking the time to be on.
Thank you, Connie. You know how excited I get when we talk, so thank you for having me back.
I know. Yeah, you know, we always have such a good time, but I think we really dig in and talk about, I think, important topics so that people realize they have control of their life, even when they feel like they don't. And that's why you're one of my favorite guests to have on, because I just think people can't get out of their own way. You know, Kate?
Absolutely. And it's so important, I mean, that we have these conversations and people are hearing it over and over again, because it's like, I guess, the drip of water wearing away and creating that Grand Canyon, or it's like dropping seeds. And eventually you're going to see the plants start to come up, and it's going to give you a confidence boost. So it's really important that we're talking like this.
And I love it. And I know everybody's heard of law of attraction. So today we're going to shift a little bit and we're going to talk about the law of awareness and how it really does differ from the law of attraction.
Okay, so Neville, for your audience, Connie, most people know that I talk about Neville Goddard. So he used the word awareness and assumption interchangeably. But fundamentally, the difference between that and the law of attraction is that you're not sort of thinking about things that exist in time and space around you that you're trying to pull towards yourself as by some magical magnetic force. But you're actually understanding that if we are made of the same stuff as the creator, and that all things that exist are made of the same stuff, we can, he says, put on a feeling as though we're putting on a garment, a coat, a suit of clothes. And that feeling is representative of what your life looks like with that thing already a part of it. So you've gone to the end. You're not seeing something as being separate from you, but energetically speaking, you're seeing it as already being a part of your life. And it's important to get that feeling, because what that means is that you are becoming persuaded that that thing is available to you. So most people don't realize, when you're practicing the law of attraction, as Neville says, you're looking at what you want through the lens of what you presently have. And so you are all aware, you're aware totally of all the limitations and all the reasons why you can't have it and why you haven't got it now. And so bringing it to you is actually almost impossible for a lot of people. You just can't get past, as you were saying at the top of the show, we can't get it out of our own way. But if we have a feeling that, if we are able to put on a feeling, if we're able to evoke within ourselves a feeling that we already have something, then the experience and the outcome is very different.
Can you give an example that you have created yourself for yourself?
Okay, so when I graduated from college, a university we call it here, even though my parents had done their bit, you know, had rented me an apartment, got me a car, done all of that, as most students do when you get some money, you go a little bit crazy. So when I graduated, my finances were in a pretty terrible situation, and I didn't really understand how to fix it. I didn't know what to do. It was as though you were never going to be able to work enough to sort of clear everything up. And once your credit's ruined, it's ruined and all that kind of thing. And so whenever I think about repairing my credit or having money in the bank to feel good about myself, to get, support myself in the way that I need to, I would feel anxious. And then I think, okay, how do I get money? I'm trying to pull money towards myself. I'm using all these techniques that I think I know, but I'm still trying to pull money to myself. But in that situation, in that energetic state of not having, I'm not going to be able to pull money towards myself. I just don't know it. So Neville said, you're never going to be able to wish hard enough. You're never going to be able to use these techniques brilliantly enough to make this happen. You have to feel good about yourself. So when I began to feel, as you were saying, changing those statements, flipping the script, when I began to feel that I had money, even though I didn't have it, money started to show up, and I couldn't always explain why or where. I'd get called to do things, maybe to speak, to write an article, and just for one small piece of work, in my eyes, I'd be paid a huge amount of money. And so obviously that energetic shift in me brought me into contact with the things that were going to make the situation I wanted to happen happen. And it really didn't happen until I achieved that shift in myself. So as long as you're anxious, you're not going to be able to have the things that you want. You really have to have a completely different feeling about whatever it is that you want. And this is what Neville's talking about. The feeling is a part of you. As naturally as anything else that is already a part of you is a part of you.
Now, in the book, and I loved right at the beginning, I think it was of the book. It's been a while since I've read the book, although I go back and I read chapters here and there because it's remind you how to keep your thoughts in a healthy manner. But you gave an example. You were a little girl and you wanted rabbit,
a hamster,
that was it. Because I know everybody's saying, yeah, I know I'm supposed to feel like I have it already, but how do I do that? And this is such a great example of a little girl, right? That simple kind of approach. Talk about the hamster story, because this is exactly what we're talking about right now.
Right. So, yeah, I wanted this hamster. I was obsessed with having a hamster, and I didn't have it, but it was interesting. When I was playing with it in my imagination, I could feel it. So Neville talks about our conscious body having the same senses as our physical bodies. And you can be so lost in play and so deep in your feelings. Your feelings can be so strong about something that you begin to feel with your conscious senses just as though these things were physically real. So I would play with this hamster every single day. That was the first thing I did when I got home from school. I played with my hamster. And when I kind of couldn't explain to other people what I was doing, I made one, you know, out of a dust cloth. And I had the laundry basket was the cage and all of that. But no one could persuade me that this thing wasn't real. I just knew that I had it. And I have to be honest, I cannot explain exactly how I knew that I had it. I just knew that I had it because all of the emotions that I felt when I actually got the real hamster were the same as the emotions I experienced before I laid my hands on the real animal. So this is what Neville's talking about. He said, you want to lift your emotions to a level of intensity so that those imagined thoughts, visions, sensations are indistinguishable from their physical correlates. So that's what happened to me. I could feel the fur. I could smell it. I knew what the food was like. I knew everything about this hamster. And when it became real, it was as though I had it all along.
And it's funny because it's not that people are going, yeah, but your mother was buying it for your birthday. No. Your mother was like, you're not getting a hamster. You're not getting a hamster. There was a lot of pushback from mom. And you're like, yeah. Well, I'll show you. I'm going to play with this dust cloth. And you made it the hamster. So that's such a great example. I remember when I first started the show, I was having people I knew, Kate. So it was all Jersey people. And the producer said to me, the owner of Web Talk, she called me up one day. She goes, all right, so here's the deal. This isn't a Jersey show. You need to like cast your net, and you got to get people from outside of New Jersey. I was like, I don't know anybody outside of New Jersey. So she's like, I don't know. You got to figure it out. So I talked to my husband and I told him, and he goes, well, what are you going to do? I go, I have the faintest idea of what I'm going to do. I said, but you know what? I believe that I have people from all over the world that are on my show. I believe it. I feel it. When I interview people, I'm getting better and better. They're going to find me. These people want to be on my show. My husband looks at me like, you're out of your mind. Within a month, somebody from Hawaii found me. These publicists from all over the world found me. And I kept saying, how'd you find me? They're like, I don't know. You popped up on this feed. Now, I hadn't done anything to show up on these feeds and what have you. I believe so intently because she assigned me something and you assigned me something. It's happening, right, in my world. And all of a sudden, people from all over the world started being on the show. So it has no longer been the Jersey show, because you're out in England, aren't you, right
now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It works. So that, you know, I know people have heard this before. You have to believe that you have it, feel like you have it. And they go, but what does that mean? So that's why I thought the hamster example would be such a great example, because it's tangible from a kid's perspective. It's simple. The financial one you gave, people are like, yeah, but I still don't have money. How can I relax when I'm stressed out that I'm not paying my bills? So it's really, it's flipping the switch. It really is flipping that switch. What, you know, when people who are listening and they're saying, I just can't get the results that you're talking about, what do you usually diagnose as them doing wrong? Like, can you spin it from that perspective maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's this difference between this law of attraction versus being able to have the feeling. So if we go back to you, Connie, before you were interviewing people like me from different parts of the world, you would have felt that. So the feeling that you would have felt at some point, it registered, would be similar to the feeling that you're having now as we're talking to each other. And it's all about evoking the feeling. I think people get really worried about laying their hand on the physical thing, but that's not how it's going to work. If you could lay your hands on the physical thing, there wouldn't be any need for this process. You just go out and do that. And people get really anxious because they think, okay, this is physical around me and that's physical around me, but that thing over there, it's too big, it's too much. And so they will it towards themselves. But that anxiety is actually keeping it away from them. So if you're trying to will something towards yourself, if you're trying to feel that you have it intently, that's different from feeling that you have it already. And I think that it's a very subtle difference, but it's an important one. And that's what happens all too often. I get so many emails. I've had a crazy number of emails this week. I kind of get it with all the political turmoil that's going on, and people are anxious and wondering what a new administration's going to bring with it and all the rest of it. Sure. And so people get anxious. But that feeling, this is separate from me, this thing is something I want, all of those things are keeping what you want away. If you're able to quiet those feelings, and better yet, replace them with feelings of certainty, relaxation, that I have it, it will show up. I know it seems a lot to ask when you're going in the middle of something that's difficult, but we're never going to be able to worry enough to bring what we want into reality. But if you just take the plunge, as Neville says, it takes real courage, but take the plunge, start with something small. What will happen is, once you've confirmed that that's the way it works, I've got to feel I have it first and then it shows up, and you do that a couple of times, you'll be flying, because you would have persuaded yourself. You've got your own verification of this process. So don't just take my word for it, your word for it, Connie. As people who do this, do it for yourself. Take the plunge and see what happens. We need to get the order right. We feel we have it first, and then it shows up.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I remember I had a retirement dinner over the summer, and I was still in the throes of writing my book, which is, I'm going to probably launch in February of 2020. But I was in the throes, and I was at this thing, and everybody's like, oh, Con, what's going on? What's new? And I says, oh, I wrote a book. I'm still writing the book, by the way. And they're like, oh, what's the name of it? I got on a plane with a couple of ideas and I threw it at them. Oh, we like that one. I go, yeah, that's the one I was leaning towards too. I think that's what I'm going to name it. That's that. Thanks for that help. And as we started talking, I'm like, oh, and then I'm going to create a masterclass because I think entrepreneurs really struggle with, they're good at what they know, their businesses, but they don't know how to sell it. And really selling is just an extension of being passionate and talking about, you know, what you've created. You just have to know how to connect with humans. They're like, yeah, you're really good at that. I go, I know. I needed to write this book. It was time. So now the funny thing, again, I was in the throes of writing this book. I didn't have an editor. I didn't have anything. I'm just writing this stupid book. It's not a stupid book. It's a great book. All of a sudden, I interviewed another woman that I know, a colleague. She was doing the exact same thing as me. She had the book. She didn't have the program. I had the program. I didn't have the book. So we started sharing ideas. All of a sudden, now I have an artist doing my book cover. I have an editor who's doing that. I have a social media company who's helping me put all the pieces in place, updating my website, all of the moving parts. All of a sudden, these people are... And when I tell you, Kate, I had no idea how to do any of this. And all of a sudden, these people are coming to me. And it started... It's funny, as we were just talking... I thought, oh, that's when it happened, because I said it as if, oh, yeah, the book's written. You know, yeah, it's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the premise of it. And this is what I want. This is how I want to help people, because I always come from that helpful place. Boom, all of these things start finding me and the pieces come into place. And talk about, you see how I said, I said the book was done and then the pieces found me. I had no idea how to find an editor or an art person or any of these things. I had no idea. And it's not like I have a bazillion dollars where money is no object, right? Because there, money is an object. So by me feeling that it was already done, the pieces find me. How many times do you hear from your clients that, well, I have to do this and then this and then this and then this, and that's just not how it works? You get where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you wanted me to address, sorry, because it froze for a moment there. So you wanted me to address how that happened?
Yes. Yes.
Right. So you were talking about us getting out of our own way. When you think about when we're doing any kind of project in our day-to-day life, we've got all the elements and everything, all the bits and pieces that go into it, and our own frame of mind. So we have this objective in mind, right? So when we get to the end of a project and we know that it's finished, we're not doing any work. There's no busy work. There's nothing to do. And so when you get to that point where you feel that the thing is done, you've gotten out of your own way, and all the things that were necessary are able to fall into place. But what happens is when we're busy getting involved in the process of trying to bring our manifestation about, we are actually distracted from what is really supposed to be happening very, very often, because we're thinking, we're looking at it through the lens of where we presently are. So if you think about it, and if you were like, okay, I know how this book is going to happen, I know who's going to be involved, and you went here, there, and everywhere trying to make things happen, maybe sending out mailers, or I don't know how these things work. I'm very much like you. I let the stuff happen. But, you know, if you got in the way, then none of the things that have happened could happen, because as the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, which can be translated as we can't do two things at the same time. We cannot be occupied. Our minds cannot entertain two thoughts at the same time. And so consciously, if you think about it, once the book is finished, and that's really how it, that's the bottom line. It is what it is. The book is finished, but we can get in the way of that being the case, and we can actually prolong that process because we're interfering with what we don't know, because we're never given the details about how something's going to happen. We're just supposed to get out of the way.
And it's so funny because it's true. We are limited to our perspective here and now and the experiences I've had in the past. So if you're not financially wealthy, or you don't have your dream job yet, or you haven't met your soulmate, or like all the things that haven't happened yet, how can you know what that soulmate is going to, who he is, or who she is? You don't. So if you keep looking and going to bars and going here and, oh, I can't find him. Oh, I can't find him. You're right. the universe keeps saying, you're right, you can't find him. Yeah. Whereas you throw your hands up in the air and say, whatever, the person is going to find me. These are the qualities. And you visualize them being kind and gentle and funny and whatever those qualities. And you actually smile and feel that warmth. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. the person will come to you, right? And that's, we are limited to this perspective. And there's so much more going on out here. So if we keep looking here, you're never going to see what's going on out here, right? Does that
Absolutely.
Make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what's going on. So we need to get that feeling of warmth, if you think about it, corresponds to our bliss, corresponds to us having achieved what we wanted. Yep. And all the other feelings are not it. So it cannot be it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? If you are in the arms of the person you love, that the person that is right for you, then you're going to feel a warmth. You're going to feel a joy that that situation brings. But if you actually look at or just check in on all the feelings you have outside of that, then those things cannot bring about the result you're looking for. So just get out of the way and allow the thing that's supposed to happen to happen.
Yeah, this is hard, guys. What Kate and I are talking about, we understand this is not easy stuff. And it takes, I love how Neville says, just dive in, go into the deep end and try it out. And here's the thing. Doesn't cost you anything. It's not that it won't kill you. I mean, God forbid, right? It's not going to kill you. Why wouldn't you try something that potentially could manifest magic into your life? So talk to me about that re-clarifying our understanding of that positive mind metaphysics, right? Because everybody says, oh, positive affirmations. It's a lot more than that.
Yeah, so esoterically, so I do a lot of study. I've done extensive study into a lot of the terms that Neville's used. And cannot remember for the life of me the lecture, but I'll explain what he said. That people often think the word positive in metaphysical terms means happy and good. And it was when he was talking about us being careful and tending the garden of our mind, being really careful about what we allow to be planted in our minds. Positive just refers to whether something happens or not. But many people think that positive just means good. So they're really loosey-goosey with what they allow themselves to be preoccupied by, what kind of things they react to emotionally. And so he says that they get shocked when they see all sorts of ugly and undesirable plants growing in the garden of their mind. It's because they haven't been careful about what they're thinking. So it's really important to understand there's a clear distinction. Positive means is really almost a scientific term in this context. Positive means it has happened. The thing you thought about with intensity of feeling has happened. It could be an unpleasant thing or a pleasant thing. So I'll just give you a really quick example of this. So someone near and dear to me found out that on Friday, the storage unit where all their stuff was burned to the ground. And it was so devastating for them. And they were actually still in shock. And I was talking to this person. I said, remember when I actually helped them move out of the old storage unit. And I said, remember you just said, oh, I'm sick of this stuff. I just want it gone. Over and over again. Oh, I don't care about it. I just want this stuff gone. I said, you said that over and over again. This is not about blaming you or you being punished for something that you did wrong or that you did bad. But it's important to understand that what we say with feeling comes to fruition. What we think with feeling comes to fruition. And it's not about, like I said, being punished for doing something wrong, but it's about being careful. The beauty is that we can still use these same techniques to restore what we've lost. We can use these techniques to make our situation better than it was before. So it's never hopeless. It's never the end of the story. But often when we find ourselves confronted with things that we wouldn't want to happen in our lives, that's still positive mind metaphysics. It means that you were able to feel something with sufficient intensity that it became a physical reality for you. So I always tell people, be really careful. Don't just focus on the good stuff, but be aware of the negative stuff that you entertain as well, so that you don't end up bringing situations into your life that you can't handle.
Does that happen? Do you think a lot of people who get sick, they all of a sudden they have cancer or whatever disease that they, you know, debilitating disease. Do you feel that they bring that on themselves? Is that?
I think, you know, our bodies are biological and they are going to decay and break down. And I certainly think that all things are energetic, even diseases that we experience. So I think it's important that if people are particularly anxious, you notice that the mind-body connection is something that medical science has described for decades, if not centuries.
Yeah.
So this is not something that you and I are making up, Connie. It's well established and well documented. So people who are perhaps very nice people, but always anxious, always worried about things, will find that if there is a vulnerability in the cell of their body, they will exacerbate it. And scientists will be able to tell you about the effects of stress hormones and things like that. So in terms of, I think I'm sensitive about the term bring it on us on themselves. I used to use that and people would say, oh, that sounds like you're blaming. But I think it's important that people do understand that they do bring things on themselves, in the sense that perhaps through not understanding or knowing, the kind of thoughts that we entertain can have negative repercussions, even in our physical health. So it's really important to understand that we are actually, as Neville says, the operant power. We're the one deciding, determining what's happening to us. So he says, if you read the newspaper and there's a horrible article and you react to it, you're going to experience something that confirms what you felt with intensity in that moment. So it's really important that we understand when we say bring it on oneself, this is not about blaming, but it's about encouraging people to be really careful about the kind of things that they think and feel.
And it's interesting. I had a knee injury working on an elliptical machine. I tore my meniscus, and it wasn't bad enough that they said, go and have surgery. So I went through rehab, but my name, when I tell you, like at Christmas, when I do Christmas Eve, I would have to put a brace on. It was like a lead weight on me. It was horrible. And getting in and out of the car, I had to be very careful how I got in and out of the car, how I moved. And I worked with an energy healer, and we got to the root cause. It wasn't the injury in the knee. That was a weakness in my body. But I had money issues that I was holding myself back and holding on to the anxiousness around money and my own personal value that maybe I shouldn't have money in my life because I'm not worth it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, she did some pretty heavy work with me, and knock on wood, I have not had a pain in the knee. I don't even think about it anymore. I get out of the car, I sit down, I never have to cater to it because it's not even in my mind anymore. And it was because that was my weakness, but my own angst was creating pain. I guess reminding me every day, you're not enough, you're not worthy, whatever it was subconsciously. So it's really interesting how, and that's just a good example of it, you know, an injury to the knee, but it doesn't have to be anything debilitating. But how many of us have aches and pains that maybe go back to some of the angst that we're carrying, and it just harbors itself in that weak place in our body, right? We all have, you know, injuries and stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, Florence Scovel Shinn, who's a metaphysician from the United States, I think early 19th century, she wrote beautifully about the connection between diseases and this idea of what we're thinking of ourselves. And so she talks about it really in great detail. So if anyone who's listening wants to know more about that, it's really important. I mean, you and I are talking about creating the life you want, right? And sometimes people think that it's all about all the goodies, but it's important to understand that we've got to take care of ourselves in a wide variety of ways.
Absolutely.
And that includes being aware of where we're not perhaps treating ourselves as well as we could be energetically.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're mind, body, spirit, right? We're all of the above within the vessel that's here and now on the earth.
Yes.
People who are listening and they're thinking, this is crazy. I'm disillusioned. I've tried all of these things. It's not working. And they've lost all the motivation to keep kind of plugging away. What do you usually recommend to get their mojo back, to have them be motivated?
So the first thing to remember is that consciousness, I refer to consciousness as God. You might use another word, and I don't worry about that. But the source of inspiration, infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is constant. It never changes. So the analogy I use when people tell me I can't do this anymore is, think of a fire in a fireplace, a roaring fire. The further you step back from that fire, the less you're going to feel its effects. Mm-hmm. So what often happens is that maybe they've started with a type of meditation, or they're doing a program, or they've read a book like mine, or listened to you speak, and they're really going, wow. And then what happens is that life gets in the way, if you like. So this is not a constant part of their daily routine or ritual. So I find that even now, for me, if I am not reading every single day, I find myself oh gosh, yeah, I'm not feeling as good as I want to feel. I have to rush back to what I know. So Neville says it has to be part of you every single day. So if I go back to that fire analogy, the further away you go from it for whatever reason, maybe you think you're too busy to take care of yourself, doing meditation or whatever. And so you feel like the warmth has gone out, if you like. If you head back towards that fire, to that source, it's going to come right back. So just have confidence. Take it from me. God or consciousness never changes. This is the one thing that is constant. And so when you find yourself, you've lost motivation, just go back to an exercise and be very deliberate about it. Maybe a program that you really liked, a podcast that you listen to, a radio broadcast you listen to. Listen to it again and again. Just get the engine going once again. And then just tell yourself, you know what, for the next 21 days, the next 30 days, I'm just going to spend 2 or 3 minutes every single day making sure that this is a part of my daily routine and see how I go from there. And that's what I always recommend. So it's God is constant. It's we that drift away. But once we come back, we're going to be right back on top.
Yeah. And you said, you know, 2 minutes a day. I have a gentleman I follow, Adam Michael Brewster is his name. Mm-hmm. And he created a 3-minute meditation. And last year he did a challenge and he said, do it for 30 days or 28 days, whatever it was. Every day, do 3 minutes. That's all you have to do. And you can do it in the morning, at night, fit it into your schedule, but every day for 3 minutes and see what happens. And it was really interesting because I was trying to meditate and I fire fast. My mind is always going. I'm always thinking. It was painful, literally painful to meditate. So I thought 2-3 minutes, I could even do this, right? So every morning I would get up 3 minutes earlier and I would just do his meditation. And I did it for the 30 days. And the funny thing was that some mornings I would get up earlier and I would think, oh, you know, I'm going to do 2 of them. And he has different mindfulness, you know, whatever. So I would do 2 or 3. One day I did, I think he has 4 or 5 of them. I ended up doing the full 15 minutes. So it's just really interesting how you can help your brain learn how to do whatever it is we're talking about, whatever's working for people. Mm. For me, it was the meditation. And I meditate every day now, even if it's just for 3 minutes, because that's all I have time for. But I meditate every day. I need that for my own sanity, really.
Yeah.
Because my mind is always, always firing. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, like you said, just do it every day for 2 minutes. Read something that inspires you for 2 minutes, right? It doesn't have to be anything grand, right?
Yeah. And also, and it's so wonderful, you can actually incorporate it into things that people do every day anyway. So a lot of people are very, very disciplined in the way that they have their wheatgrass or whatever in the morning and they're on the treadmill or whatever. You could have a little clip that's maybe only 30 seconds that you include in your playlist. If you do something that you don't miss every day while you're drinking your smoothie or whatever it is, while you're drinking it, you're reading something that's stuck up on the fridge in front of you, whatever. So it's so easy to incorporate this way of life and make it a part of your way of life, and you will begin to see the benefit to yourself. It's so important that we do it every day, though.
It's a habit. It's like anything else. And once that habit becomes, we get really good at, and you almost become expert level, like you are dealing with, but you are, you're an expert level.
Thank
because,
you.
But you've been studying this, Kate, since you were, you know, the little girl who wanted the hamster, although I don't think at that time you knew exactly what you were doing. It just,
That's
it
true.
Was intuitive for you. But now you've become a true expert. I hope that we're out of time, but I hope everybody, you're intrigued, if nothing else, and go and buy Kate's book. It's called Infinite Possibilities: How to Use the Ideas of Neville Goddard to Create the Life You Want. And really, it's the life you deserve, that we're all here, that we deserve great things. So it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, right? Infinite Possibilities. They can get anywhere, right, Kate?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's Catherine.
Absolutely.
It's Catherine is her real name, Jedgy. And I'm just going to give you, if you'd like more Kate, which I always want more Kate, I love our time together, go to her Facebook. So it's facebook.com/, and then it's Catherine Jedgy Author. So it's K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Catherine. And then her last name, J-E-G-E-D-E, Author. And I will post that on the Web Talk Radio, my Enlightenment of Change website, so you guys could find her. But I highly recommend the book. It's funny, Kate, because the book is right by where I sit, watch TV. I read in this one chair in my living room. And that book is like one of my staples right there. That every once in a while I think, oh, I need to read this book. Last summer, when I was doing this book, I felt a little lost because I really didn't know what the heck I was doing. I have to be honest. And I pulled out your book and my husband said, oh, you're reading that again? And I said, I'm going to read this every day all summer. And I would just read like a little chapter. I would sit outside with a glass of wine or something like that at the end of the day where I was finished and I could sit and just focus. So it becomes part of the staple of your life. I highly recommend your book. It's just little reminders. And the other thing, Kate, we didn't mention this with the book. You give little exercises at the end of each chapter, like some of the things some of the exercises you said today, but you really break it down into simple steps so that people can do it for the 28 days or the 30 days to make it a habit while they're, you know, drinking their juice in the morning or working out or whatever it is. So I highly recommend the book. The feedback, have you gotten amazing stories from people who have read the book?
There were some stories that were really phenomenal. There was a lady who was battling with mental health who has spoken to me about how the book has changed her life. And I was really like thrilled to hear this. And I also heard from a police officer. No. I was so excited. I don't even know where he got the book from or how he, well, because of what I do and my mentor in Parliament, he often talks about the book that I've written. But to hear from a police officer who said thank you, you know, they have such a terribly difficult job and I'm so excited with the work that I'm doing with them now, but to say that it made a difference, and I thought, OMG. It was so wonderful to know that somebody who actually does such a difficult job was able to get comfort from the book. And this is something that they said that they're not familiar with, but they felt they understood it and they've tried some of the exercises. So I'm really, really thrilled. I think for me, hearing from anybody telling me about, you know, anything they've been able to do, help with their financial situations, relationships. There was one lady who had a difficult time with her son and she really attributes her shift in herself to being able to repair her relationship with her adult son. So I feel so warm, you know, and I just love it. It's so rewarding. I'm not doing it for me, just as you don't do it for you, Connie.
Absolutely.
I know that, but you can't help but just say, wow, thank you. It's such a vindication that we might seem like the kooky ones, but it's making a difference in lives in real terms.
Absolutely. And it's so funny you said that the mom with the son, the shift has to be within you. We say, oh, yes. When he changes or when she does this, it has nothing to do with the external world. It has to do with our internal thought process. So that shift has to come from us. But isn't that the control we have? We only have control over us. We don't have control over anybody else out there.
Absolutely.
So it's just interesting. Again, Infinite Possibilities, my wonderful friend Kate, check it out. It's a life-changing book, guys. It really is a life-changing book. Also, you know I love giving things away. Go to wisdomdecoded.com. We are still offering our free communication style assessment. Check out. Gives you a little bit of insight as to your superpowers and maybe to your little blind spots and challenges that you didn't even know existed. So check it out, wisdomdecoded.com. Again, Kate, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
I love our time together, and I am always so charged up after our shows because I feel like I always learn another little piece from an implementation standpoint every time I talk to you. So thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, Connie.
Always a pleasure. You know I'm a fan. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. That I know this word change freaks us out, but you've got this. And I hope my guests like Kate today and the books and the authors that I have on help you navigate whatever changes you're looking for experiencing in your life. It's easier than you think. You just got to do something differently. So embrace it and go for it. Thank you again, Kate. Thank you again, listeners, for checking out the show today. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish everyone a wonderful and truly inspired week. Go manifest a brilliant life that you deserve. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.